In this presentation, I want to pause from looking at the text of Ephesians and specifically look at what living a moral life is like as a Christian. Paul has just warned the Christians to avoid immoral behaviour. It's important to highlight the specifically Christian dimension of the moral teaching of Paul. The Stoics of Paul's day had worked out a system of ethics based on their understanding of human nature. Christians of a later period were fond of expressing their moral teaching in the terms of the current ethical philosophy, both in order to appeal to their non-Christian contemporaries in language that was understandable and to support the reasonableness of the Christian position. This procedure has an obvious validity, but it mustn't be allowed to obscure the truth that when Paul speaks of moral behaviour, he invariably argues not from an understanding of human nature and its requirements, but from the example of Jesus, who shares with the believer his spirit. Christian living is modelled on that of Jesus, and it's possible because of the Spirit of Jesus dwelling in us. A person cannot live Christian morality without faith. It obviously cannot be imposed on non-believers, for it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. For this reason, Paul's urging is an appeal from the risen Christ, and it's made in the Lord and through the Lord Jesus, that is to say, in communion with him and with his authority. Paul is not simply offering suggestions. He's speaking of how Christians ought to live. The obligations are not because they're human, but because they're disciples of Jesus. Being human and being a disciple of Jesus are not in opposition. In fact, Jesus, being sinless, is perfectly human. The call to live as humanly as Jesus, however, is not made because of the moral strength that Christians should have as human beings, but because they share in Jesus' Spirit. Living a moral life as a Christian is not something we can acquire by our own efforts. It's not a triumph of personal endeavour. To live a virtuous life, self-discipline is necessary. But as Paul will state clearly when he speaks of virtues, these are the fruit of the Spirit, not achievements of the self. Paul came to see that we should let go our ego and let the Spirit of Christ fill our hearts and direct our lives. We are called and graced to let the Messiah live in us. As Christians, we are to clothe ourselves with the Messiah. These are all statements that Paul has made in various letters. We're to put on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. For Christians, virtue is before all else a grace. We are to behave in a manner worthy of the vocation to which we have been called. And we're to do this by living in the Messiah. In the Messiah is an expression used by Paul 85 times. We are graced to be able to say with Paul, it's no longer I who live, it's the Messiah who lives in me. The life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, loving me and giving himself for me. Fundamental to our living a moral life as disciples of Jesus is our sharing Jesus' faith. Jesus revealed God as love. He gave us an example of what it means to welcome God's love and live by it. But he did more than that. And this takes us to the essential foundation of Christian morality. Jesus gave us an example, yes. He showed us how to welcome God's love, yes. But he continues to give his disciples a share in his faith in God and in his love. We can live a moral life because God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In Galatians 5:19-21, Paul has a list of vices. It's important to note that he follows this list not with a list of virtues that we might acquire by our own efforts, but with examples of what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. He writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's Galatians 5:22-23. We're not surprised to find that the first fruit of the Spirit is love. As he wrote earlier in the letter, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Paul is speaking of something more than the spontaneous feeling that develops with one's spouse or family. He's speaking of something more than passionate desire or the affection experienced between friends. All of these are beautiful, but he's speaking of something more. He's speaking of the recognition one has of the value of another person in the light of what God has revealed in Jesus. He's speaking of the decision to give one's life for others the way Jesus gave his life for us. Love, as used here by Paul, speaks of faithful commitment to God and to people, whatever feelings may arise within us. However, love is not something that we can choose to do of ourselves. Love comes from God. It's a gift to us from the heart of Jesus through his Spirit. Paul ends that list of virtues in Galatians with self-control. This is not control by the self. Rather, it's the control that we experience when we open ourselves to Jesus and to the gift of his Spirit. It's allowing ourselves to be directed by him. It's being like Paul, a slave of the Messiah. It's to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. If we do this, then the Spirit will cause these fruits to grow in our lives. Rather than our struggling to obey a law etched on stone, we are to open our hearts and minds to the call of the Spirit and allow Jesus to live in us. Christian morality is a morality of love, the love revealed by Jesus on the cross. It's not an achievement of the self. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not possible without faith, but it is possible with faith, and it's here that Paul places his emphasis. More and more, we are to allow Jesus' Spirit to penetrate every aspect of our lives. To belong to the Messiah, a phrase dear to St. Paul, to belong to the Messiah demands that we die to our selfishness and give our lives in love to others. As Jesus' disciples, we rely not on our own moral strength, but on the love of the risen Jesus, to whom we look to purify our loving. We're called and graced to be holy. Holiness is what the Spirit does in our lives. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, "We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth." Holiness is before all else a matter of love, and it's this love that we are to give and receive in the bosom of the Christian community. We think of Jesus' description of the way in which the Father welcomes home his wayward son. Luke writes Jesus' parable, "While the boy was still far off, his father saw his son and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him." It is this same compassionate and persistent love that Jesus himself manifested in the way he lived and in the way he died. It's a gift to us from the heart of Jesus pierced on the cross. This is the gift of the Spirit, the fountain of living water which flows from Jesus' breast and wells up in our own. In his first letter to the community in Corinth, Paul reflects on the love of God as seen in Jesus. And he writes, "Love never stops caring. Love acts always in a kind way. Love doesn't act out of jealousy or envy. Love doesn't boast or behave arrogantly. Love does not behave indecently or insist on its own way. Love doesn't give way to irritation or brood over wrongs. Love takes no pleasure in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love has space enough to hold and to bear everything and everyone. Love believes all things, hopes all things, and endures whatever comes. Love does not come to an end. Paul, in speaking of love, uses verbs throughout that hymn. He's not listing various qualities that pertain to love. In true Semitic style, Paul is telling us what love does. Let's look at some of the qualities of Jesus' love, and therefore of Christian love. Love always acts in a kind way. Kindness is listed by Paul as a fruit of the Spirit. Whatever gifts of grace we may or may not have been given by the Spirit, the more excellent way is the way of love, which can be recognized by the kindness with which we treat others. Be kind, says Paul, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in the Messiah has forgiven you. Through the gift of love, we share in the kindness of God. This is how Jesus knew God. Love has space enough to hold and to bear everything and everyone. Love is about having space in one's heart, space for people, space to hold problems, disappointments and pain, as well as joys, hopes and dreams. The crucified and risen Jesus has space in his heart for all the members of the Corinthian community, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, both their Lord and ours. That was a quote from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 2. Jesus has space in his heart for the whole human race for which he offered his life. In the letter to the community in Colossae, Paul writes, "You must live your whole life according to the Messiah you've received, Jesus the Lord. You must be rooted in him, built on him." And he goes on to speak not of virtues that they should acquire, as one might find in the Stoic manuals of the day, but on the qualities of Jesus that they have been clothed in. I'll read to you a beautiful statement in Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and long-suffering. Bear with one another And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of the Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of the Messiah dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul is not suggesting that we model ourselves on Jesus, as it were, from the outside. It's not a matter of our becoming like him, certainly not by virtue of our own striving. Rather, we are to allow the life of Jesus to bear fruit in our lives. It's in love that we've come to the fullness in him. It's love that informs all the other virtues, giving them that special quality that identifies them as Christian. It's in experiencing our love, the outer garment that people first see, that others come to experience through us the love of Jesus. Through the gift of peace, we experience the fullness of the risen Jesus and the harmony of all the various energies of our mind, heart, and body. Furthermore, this personal peace is not something individual. It comes through belonging to his body, the church. It's a gift mediated through the community, and which in turn builds the community. In his second letter to the Christian community in Corinth, Paul teaches that living a moral life as a Christian is possible because, I'm quoting from chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in the Messiah, there is a new creation. Judgment of value for the Greeks rested on reason. Paul is clearly appealing to something that includes but transcends reason. His key criterion is not conformity to human nature. He appeals to us to examine yourselves, to make sure you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you acknowledge that Jesus, the Messiah, is in you? Salvation for Paul comes through an act of God's gracious love. It's seen in Jesus, and the invitation God gives through Jesus for us to live by the same divine Spirit that inspired and gave life to Jesus. Morality for Paul is the fruit of this saving love. It's impossible without this love. Paul doesn't argue for the logic of his positions. He doesn't attempt to demonstrate that they're inherently consistent. He doesn't present Christian moral conduct as something to be lived by anyone who might choose to do so. Paul invites people to faith. He invites them into the Christian community. He shows what is possible for a Christian. For himself, he prays not for greater rationality or more determined effort, but that the power of the Messiah may stay over me. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. That the power of the Messiah may stay over me. In his letter to the Romans, Paul exhorts the Christians not to be more self-disciplined, but to put on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Morality is the fruit of God's liberating love. It's Jesus living in us. It's impossible to live a moral life free from sin without this gift, even with the law. The gift of being alive to God in the Messiah Jesus is, however, offered to all without distinction, Jew and Gentile alike. Paul invites people to faith. He invites people into the Christian community. He invites us to belong to Jesus and to experience his indwelling spirit. He shows what fruit can come from such a union. Fruit that without such a union is quite impossible. For Paul, living with clean hands and pure heart is possible because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. To the community in Philippi, Paul writes, if there is any appeal in the Messiah, any consolation from love, any communion in the Spirit, any movements of compassion and feelings of love, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one soul and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Do not strive after or seek to find your value in things that are worthless, but in humility regard others above yourselves, so that everyone is not focused on themselves, but each is looking to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in the Messiah, Jesus. That's the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. This goes beyond the training Paul received as a Jew, or the Stoic philosophy that he learned in Tarsus. It's a new basis for moral living, possible because of the gift of Jesus' mind, heart, and spirit. The compassion Paul is calling for is the compassion of the Messiah, Jesus. The righteousness that Paul lives is not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. It's one that comes through the faith of the Messiah, the righteousness from God based on faith. Sharing in Jesus' communion with God, the Christian shares in Jesus' faith. And it's this communion that is the basis of living a Christian life. And in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, Paul continues, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever inspires reverence, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever attracts to love, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, give consideration to these things. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. To live a Christian life, we need to open ourselves to receive the power of God into our lives. Only this love, as lived by Jesus, can bring healing and meaning to the human condition. There is a place for indicating the reasonableness of Christian morality, but in the final analysis, the appeal is to Jesus' promise to share his Spirit with us. There'll always be a sense of sacred mystery about human life and human behaviour. One aim of education will be knowledge, as the Greek moralists said. But more important than knowledge of human nature will be knowledge of Jesus and what he reveals to us about who God is and who we are called and graced to be. Let us welcome the gift of his Spirit into our hearts. Sharing in his communion with God will purify our hearts. The fruit of his Spirit will be seen in our moral behaviour, our clean hands, as the psalmist puts it, as we are clothed in the Messiah, till we can say with Paul, "I live, no longer I, it's the Messiah who lives in me."